SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very happy Mardi Gras, race fans. Bon Temps Relais, one of our favorite, absolute favorite days of the broadcast year, especially because we couldn't, earlier in February, we couldn't do our usual Groundhog Day activities, but given that it was on a weekend, but they can't put Fat Tuesday on a weekend, can they? You can't call a holiday Mardi Gras and put it on a Saturday. Doesn't work. We're going to certainly get to what could be a very interesting Mardi Gras steak, actually, at Fairgrounds. They got the typical good card, and the steak itself, boy, for $75,000, you couldn't have had a nicer field, even without break-even participating. Break-even, we know, is going to scratch, and we're waiting to hear about what Amos decided, and I think supposed to announce it yesterday, but I didn't see it, 1,000 reasons. But this is a eye-crossing field with graded stake winners, Hotshot Anna, Bell's the One, and then a host of other stake winners in general. Really fun. 5.5 turf sprint for the fillies and mares, the Mardi Gras stake today, and then there's a couple of allowances and miscellaneous bettable opportunities. We'll catch up on a lot of things, and sorry about yesterday, but Case got to the studio, and his modem was dead, and it was old enough to vote. the modem, and so we had to wait for Comcast, and by the time they showed up, it was into hour three. So we figured we'd save everything for a organized attempt today to catch up, and sadly, we go from Mardi Gras festivity and merriment to a series of sad passings and a retirement as well. The passings, literally in the last 7 days, 3 90-year-old and 90-plus stalwarts of the industry. We talked last week about Bob Quigley. And then literally since we got done with you on Friday, going into the weekend while we were in Rochester, and the baby's great, by the way, baby's back up to birth weight, all those things that are all news to me, but all the things that go with a healthy baby are going. And thanks so much for all the kind wishes for Tina and I and for the kids, for Zach and Andrea and baby Lennon. The news of Henry Moreno's passing at 90 started this, and then came word that AP Indy at 31, as storied a racehorse slash stallion as we've had in the modern era. You know, some horses are top stallions and had okay careers. Some had great careers and were okay stallions. Only a handful were elite racehorses, and then elite breed stamping influences. And AP Indy, who had just a huge following, it's hard to comprehend that a horse that had a very storied career, albeit brief, and I'd have to go back and check pre-internet day response to his retirement after his three-year-old season. But, you know, how many horses, you know, started out with a big reputation and a big advance notice by Seattle Slough and out of Weekend Surprise and a huge ticket sale prospect, highly anticipated, and then goes on and performs on the racetrack, not without some hiccups, not without hiccups. And we'll talk to Neil Drysdale later in the hour. Neil will talk about his racing career, and you know, obviously, it's one of the one of Neil's Hall of Famers, but more than that, it's one of the horses that Neil, you can just tell when you read the quotes and when you've heard him talk over the years about AP Indy, what it meant to extract the kinds of big wins Drysdale extracted. And, of course, with the help of Eddie De La Housse, trying to nail down an Eddie visit. But I can't think of too many horses that had at every juncture was a success. It anticipated success on the racetrack, anticipated impact as a stallion, and then fulfilling that. And it seems like he got more popular, even into his post pensioning. It's really remarkable. And a big outpouring, of course, of reminiscence and appreciation for AP Indy. And there's parts of it that I'm looking forward to talking tomorrow with, certainly tomorrow with Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Neil, we'll talk with Sid about the influence and the sons and so forth, all the things that come with AP Indy and his pedigree, and I'll certainly take an opportunity, I'm sure, to talk about Del Carroll and Del's part in AP Indy, fashioning the career that he did for Weekend Surprise, that made her, eligible to be covered by Seattle Slough and produce AP Indy. Lenny Shulman, who is one of those AP Indy fans. I mean, there's few horses. Lenny loves horses. He loves the personalities in the game. Lenny's going to talk about AP Indy as a biographer, essentially. And Lenny was, other than the Farishes and Drysdale and Eddie D, Lenny was like the first fan that I thought of. When word came about AP Indy, when I thought who should come on, and so I asked Lenny first because he revered AP Indy and would go visit him and had a whole thing. So Lenny will contribute mightily to the AP Indy tribute with his chronicle that he's kept over the years about AP Indy's exploits from start to finish. Then personally, for somebody that got to know and become very friendly with Tommy Trotter, word of Tommy's passing, which first was hinted, John Parada sent me a note. He said, Tommy's in the hospital. And, at the age of 93, that's not going to be it's not a great situation. Pneumonia claimed Tommy Trotter. Tommy Trotter, in a lot of ways, the AP Indy of racetrack officials. That's not inappropriate, with a storied pedigree himself, literally from a family. Off the racetrack, father, grandfather, grandfather's mother. I mean, everybody distilled down to Tommy Trotter. And the conversation I sent out the link yesterday, and I'll send it again, I'm sure, with the chance that we have to talk today. The hour that we spent with Tommy in the racing office at Saratoga, and you know, the chance to get on tape, on you know, on the record, as it were, Tommy's reminiscence, and you know, I threw out questions to him, and you know, the different stops along the way, and the changes in the game, and you know, and virtually any, you could ask Tommy anything, and there, you're talking about somebody with an institutional memory that has basically seen everything that has gone on, you know, for seven plus decades. I mean, you can't limit his experience and his field of vision to just the time he spent in the game, because even as a boy and as a child, he was in and around the game. And there's, you know, there's certainly no shortage of well-respected and well-liked racing officials and participants, and whether, you know, we different kinds of contributions people make to the game, but there's fewer people like Tommy Trotter, who was universally respected as an authority in whatever area he was handling, and as a racing secretary, and then later as a steward. But I mean, as a gentleman, and just his whole presence was literally, when they talk about a titan of a field, he just presented himself with such a, I used the word gentility yesterday, and you know, the years, the last, you know, 15 years that I got to know him at down in Florida during the winters, and we're going to talk to Bill Hirsch, and it was through Bill Hirsch and Mary Ryan and John as well, Parada, that I got to know people like Quigley and Tommy Trotter and Scotty Schulhofer, the get-togethers that Bill Hirsch and Mary Ryan have hosted for years that brought these kinds of people, you know, retired, but, you know, still close to the sport. The real rare treat to be able to, you know, to get to know them and in many cases get them on the show and so forth. But having Tommy come to Saratoga in particular every year for the Jockey Club Roundtable, he and Ellie would come up, and Tommy it always in you know, jacket and tie, and you know, tall and elegant. And few people walk around a racetrack and are so eagerly greeted in the grandstand and down in the winner's circle and in the paddock, everywhere he went. And I got to host he and Ellie a couple of different summers, and I'm so glad that we sat Tommy down and got that hour. Some very similar to what we did with TJ Kelly, with Tommy Kelly, with those two conversations on Tuesdays, dark Tuesdays at the time, at Saratoga. What made the one at Saratoga with Tommy fun was that it was in the racing office. It was in a back room in the racing office. And so that, I thought that added to the atmosphere of a conversation with Tommy Trotter. But his, the thing that's being quoted most often in the tributes that have come out to Tommy talk about his respect for the game through the assignment of weight. And he discusses that in that hour. And one of the things that, you know, that he absolutely has a stamp on is giving weight to, you know, the great horses that came through the racing departments that he was administering. And, you know, the Tao Wee story, you've heard that. I mean, you've heard that story repeatedly. You heard it from Nehrud. You've heard it from Haskett, and you heard it from Tommy. So you've heard it from every perspective about the weight that Nehrud invited for Tawi. So that part of it, you know, the four goes the great weight carriers of that era. Tommy Trotter, you know, specifically assigned. And I can't remember if I asked Tommy, did horsemen fight you very often about, you know, we're familiar with an era where, and specifically, obviously, the name that comes to mind is Bobby Frankel, who, you know, used to squawk loud and long when weight assignments came out. But if Tommy Trotter assigned your horse a high weight, my impression is that horsemen, in a perverse way, probably appreciated it, because it was a sign of great respect for the horse's ability. And then many times, and you know, importantly in the careers of, you know, particularly the great geldings, they went out and proved how imposing they were, and you know, got their places in racing history as a result. Because that's one of the ways to, you can compare from one era to another. In Dave Grenick's piece, Dave talked about the 137 pounds that Forgo carried in the Marlboro Cup. He beat Honest Pleasure, who had 119. How about that? 18-pound spread. And one of the things that's fun if you have champions, you know, the compendium of the PPs of all the champions, that's one thing that's amazing when you go through and you look at Gallaret and horses like that, and you see the spreads. There'll be occasions where a horse like Gallaret got beat, and she's carrying 128 to some, you know, to some horse that's featherweighted, you know, with 109. It's like, what? How is that? I mean, it's just crazy. And when you read WHP Robertson, there's, you know, there's races that time has probably forgotten, but you know, one of the things that people would marvel at in terms of performance, historic performances, you know, were horses that were carrying, you know, real weight, real significant weight, you know, above 130, and, you know, beating horses that they were carrying, you know, 25 pounds less. It's, you know, it's part of the game that is faded. Probably to its, in fact, here's a piece that, and I'm going to thank Jay Hovde. Jay just sent me a link of his piece from 2016, Trotter, the Last Link to Great Weight Carriers. So I'm going to send this out to everybody, and you can add it to your reading. So it's been a very difficult week, and I can't speak appropriately to Henry Moreno, but we will certainly add a few voices before the week's out, because Marino was really admired. And I know his nephew, Bob, and you've heard Bob on the show, of course, from Los Al. And so our thoughts to everybody on the West Coast that knew and loved Henry Moreno as well. So a great horseman in Moreno, 90. A great executive in Bob Quigley, 90. And one of the great racing secretary figures of all time, Tommy Trotter, at 93. And one thing about Trotter that's also that's kind of interesting and obvious throwback is the movement of somebody, I mean, as great an employee and racing office official as he was, he didn't stay in one job for 45 years. Racetrack management would change, and it's not that part hasn't changed a lot in the game, really, to be honest. Managers want to bring in their own team. There's actually some conversation on that I'll get to. Santa Anita heavily in the news the last few days and doing everything in their power, Aiden Butler and company, to kind of swing the pendulum back in a positive direction. And they're trying hard. So I got lots to do. AP and D, Tommy Trotter, Henry Moreno. Covfefe retired yesterday, which came as a bit of a surprise. The always quizzical 100% sound. I'd rather just hear somebody say, you know what? We don't feel like going forward. We're going to breed her. I mean, she's 100% sound? Well, then why isn't she going to run? But there's been obviously that kind of logical response to this, but it's too bad. I think a lot of people were looking forward to having the dual champion back. Let's take a break. I got so much here to catch up on. We lost 3 hours, obviously, yesterday, unfortunately. Got some terrific race results, including a Mr. Buff. If you didn't see that from Saturday, holy cow. Amazing performance from Mr. Buff. We got some upsets. We got Deshaun Parker sweeping all the stakes. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Neil Drysdale in about 15 minutes.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Be
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. Now ain't that a shame? I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. You used to be my honey. You spent all my money.
Well, I wasn't going to jump in before that.
No use for you to cry. I see you by and by. I'm walking to New Orleans.
It's Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday.
I've got no time for talking.
Great tradition here on the show. We're going to hear, we'll hear from Professor Longhair. And we'll visit the Zulu King and everything. It's always, always special. And it'll be a great day down there. And, of course, one of the most anticipated parts of Mardi Gras is what costume Tom Amos will sport this year. And I think, was it last year that he did the penalty hanky? Right. That was great for the Saints. He's capable of anything. It'll be timely. It'll be ripped from today's headlines. So I have no idea. We'll be watching for the picture from the paddock at Fairgrounds for the Amos costume. Yes, I love it. We're going to get Bill Hirsch. Get Bill in here, and he'll provide us with the details which have just been released. I reached out to Ellie Trotter yesterday about, you know, whatever information she needed to communicate while she made arrangements. And so and Bill has just sent it out to the circle of friends. So we'll Bill, you know, Bill and Mary have spent years and years as friends and contemporaries. So very appropriate. And Bill can also probably say a few words about Bob Quigley, who was also in that circle. Fun weekend in terms of results that we're going to talk about. Going to get Deshaun Parker in the next day or two, because how about his performance at Sam Houston? Just unbelievable. He takes all four of the stakes on Saturday night. He wins all four of the stakes, and only one of the four was a favorite. really remarkable. And, you know, Parker, who really rose to prominence riding, you know, in the, to some degree, in, you know, in the Bush circuit, ostensibly, mountaineer and such, has consistently ratcheted up his, you know, his performance and has gone to, you know, from C tracks to B and you know, turns up at the A tracks with certain horses on occasion and has really, you know, really carved out a outstanding journeyman career. And that I thought was really quite something. I mean, Manny Franco the other day, 5 wins and you know, that Eric Cancel run last week. How about that? He won 3 races, 4 days in a row. How many times has that happened? I mentioned Mr. Buff won by 20 on Saturday in that Haynes Field. He was like a, it was like an avalanche. He just, and he was geared down. So I got to reach out to John Kimmel and talk about that performance. There was the upset in the Buena Vista. Jonathan Wong with Keeper of the Stars, a horse that Siegel and I, you'll remember going back to the summer. When she, I think she won the Autumn Miss and, you know, then kind of fishtailed a little bit. And she gets to Jolie Olympico in the final strides of that Buena Vista. Plenty more to talk about, including some allowance performances. Hennig with the mild upset. Americanus in that heady allowance Saturday Gulfstream. We've got the got a nice return on the cross country pick 5, which we'll get to, and much more. So hang on for that. We'll get weave in everything. Well, I guess actually I can still do it. No luck, huh? Okay. All right. We can always come back to it. Yeah. All right. Okay. Then I'll communicate Casey with him and we'll see if we can't, maybe we'll push that back into the second hour. All right. I'm going to turn around and offer you this instead. If everybody can bear with me for a second. All right. Well, why is it whenever you try to do this, it never works. There we go. And that's beautiful. Okay. The other couple of performances that were notable, Georgina Baxter, these turf sprinters, Faction Cat blasted that turf dash and got a big figure doing it. And then Jean Elizabeth, and of course, she was kind of left to her own devices in there in the Lightning City for Ravelli. But that was part of the cross country. And Alvin Jimenez aboard both of those winners in the turf sprints. And at Gulfstream, Jackson, with a terrific ride by Louis Saez, on Jackson, setting up a shop and letting the speeds deal with each other in the world of trouble. And then Frank's Roquette, later on the card for Mott and Johnny V, wins the Any Limit. And what else? The Mind That Bird Derby on Sunday. Let's slip that in. And Sir Rick for Diodoro. The painter colt is going to point for the Sunland Derby. And I think, there you go. And Gargan with Ice Princess wins the Maddie May. That's the majority, I think, right? Do I have anything else? I think that's the rest of it. Yeah, that's about those. Oh, Knicks Go. Let me get Knicks Go in there. Knicks Go returns. And returned well. This time now under the care of Brad Cox. And the allowance win over a solid group. And, in fact, what was interesting about Knicks Go, it ended up at 3-1, which was a square enough price to pay $8. But My 6 cents took the money and goes off at 3-2 and finishes third. So for those, the Knicks Go fans, you got to be pleased. And that came back in terms of the way the race was rated. Came back okay. So a good step, 100 buyer for Knicks Go. So that got to be very encouraging. The KRA. And, you know, later on, the Oaklawn card, you also had the stake, which was the down the dusty road. And when it came to the cross-country pick five, I singled Bye-Bye Jay, and by all rights, you probably could have. I think I went too deep with Jean Elizabeth, but the All A's, you know, $24 ticket brought back $544, and there were you know, at least those two spots, and thank goodness for the good price that came out in this, which was at Tampa in the 10th, in that, what was it, a maiden 16, I think it was a maiden 16. And Gator Posse, that, you know, kind of looked competitive, but got away at 14-1, paid $31. That was the key to the cross country pick five. Gator Posse. Kent Sweezy. There he is again. Yeah. And one, it's funny, if you were rooting for, you, they came off the turn at Tampa, and, you know, there's that run to the gap, and you, those that watch Tampa regularly, you there's a certain place where you, on the turf, where you can sort of tell that you're safe, that if your horse is out there leading, and when they hit the gap, and Gator Posse was in control of the race at that point, you're feeling pretty good. And that 14-1, that was the key to everything. To bring back a nice return. It was worth playing. The Stronach 5, by the way, on Friday went unhit. So there's a carryover Friday. So we'll look forward to that. To taking a look. All right. And that's it. Other than that, let's, Case, might as well break here, and we'll come back with Neil Drysdale and talk about AP Indy with Neil. And we'll spend, in fact, the next couple of visitors talking about his career, both on the racetrack and then in the breeding shed. Neil Drysdale joins us next.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at HorseBills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
We're back in the races.
Got my ticket in my hand.
About 20 minutes to the top of the hour. It's Mardi Gras.
And Neil Drysdale joins us. Neil, good morning, and I appreciate the visit.
Good morning, good morning. Seeing the appropriate music for Mardi Gras.
Have you been down there? You strike me as somebody that slipped the Mardi Gras in over the years.
I've never actually been there for Mardi Gras, no, but obviously I've raced in New Orleans over the years.
It's like
I have got one in on Sunday.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well,
yeah.
Well, perfect. I love it. You obviously, over the years, we've talked about APND. And when the word came over the weekend that he was gone, it 31 and a great life. At the same time, I mean, there's been this outpouring of respect and real love for him, Neil. It's got to be very touching.
It is. I mean, he was a fabulous racehorse, as you know, and then he turned out to be a great stallion. So and then he was able to live on as a pensioner. So it was a, as you just pointed out, it was a great life.
When was the last time you saw him physically?
Oh my gosh, I can't remember. It hasn't been for a few years.
One of the things that's amazing is that whenever you would see, whenever somebody would have a picture of him, it was amazing. And this is true of all horses of his ilk, and not that there are a lot of them, but they just carry themselves, even in the advanced age, they just carry themselves differently.
But he was a spectacular yearling. I mean, he topped sale as a yearling. So... never looked back.
That's really true. And you know, the anticipation was there between the pedigree and, you know, then the $2 million price tag. I did see a quote or a reference to, you know, you being, you know, very much delighted, obviously, at being picked out to train him. I mean, talk about how that came about.
I'm just trying to think. There was a choice of two horses, and the other one was by Fappiano, and we felt that the Fappiano horse would be easier to go to Japan, and this is a long time ago, and so we felt that the Fappiano colt was more straightforward. He became a group winner as well, and so then we felt that AP Indy, but being by Seattle, so it was probably more suitable for the United States.
And Mr. Suramaki.
Suramaki.
How had your connection with him been established?
It was through an Irish bloodstock agent who subsequently died. Yeah, he was. He contacted me. Yeah.
Well, talk about the early indications and how quickly. When did you get him? And who actually? One thing I didn't see was who had developed him between the time that he was a yearling and by the time he got to the racetrack.
He was with Bill Harrigan.
Okay.
Yeah, in Kentucky. And he came to me from Bill Harrigan's, who was at the time managing Forest Farm, and he was broken in the field, and he came straight to me from the field.
Amazing. How quickly did you seize on what you were dealing with?
I think, you know, we always felt the head of the town right from the very beginning. I think it was a little bit of a shock when I announced to everybody that we were going to have to remove one testicle. So, when you spend a lot of money for a horse and the trainer rings up, says, "Well, now you're going to take one of his testicles." I'm not sure how well that went down, but there you go, it worked, and it didn't affect his fertility, as far as I know.
Clearly not. And in fact, you know, it's funny because that topic, over the years, you know, with Dr. Alday, he always references AP Indy, you know, as the, you know, the greatest example of you know, dealing with a ridgeling and you know, making the decision and making that balance, and then, you know, having him go on and accomplish everything that was expected of him.
Well, you can see after his first race, during his first race, you can see he was uncomfortable, and so that's when the decision was made, and he had a couple of days off, and that was it. So so there wasn't that much time between his first race and the second race, and we took the testicle out between the two, and he had a few days off, and that was it. But his first race, you could see he was uncomfortable.
That came at Del Mar, August
24th. Yeah, at Del Mar, yeah. You could see he was uncomfortable.
Were you surprised at how agile he was and how fast he was going short? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, the expectation had to be that he was going to be a route goer, but yet you know, here he was breaking his maiden, going short, and then, you know, from there it, you start to build on it.
Well, I think you'll find the most talented, really talented horses, they can do more or less anything.
Well, that win came at what? It was that six? I think it was six. Yeah, 6.5. And you took your time too, Neil. You didn't the different era, obviously, and you didn't have to, you know, go straight to a stake, and you gave him an allowance try before the Hollywood Futurity.
Yeah, no, it there were more races to choose from in those days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you also, actually, and that allowance is worth asking about because you took him up to San Francisco, to Bay Meadows.
Correct, because of the timing.
Well, and he wins at one, essentially, at, yeah, 1-5. Let's fold in Eddie D at this point, too, because, of course, Eddie will ride him his entire career, and how much of that was a conscious, you know, decision right from the start?
Well, at the time, Eddie Delahousie was riding all our horses, and so it worked out very well. He started riding for me. He rode a filly called Bone Determined.
Sure.
That was when he started riding for me.
Well, and they get along quite nicely, and then you put him away after the Hollywood Futurity. He ends the year as a Grade 1 winner, and about 60 days, bring him back for the San Rafael. Talk about the early part of the three-year-old season, Neil, and when did you start having to deal with the quarter crack?
No, the quarter crack, we didn't know. The quarter, we went to Kentucky. Everything went smoothly on the Santa Anita Derby, etc. And we get to Kentucky, and right on top of the race, the night before, he'd go out for a walk in the afternoon. I could see the night before he was just favoring a little bit. We didn't have time. We realized it was his foot because there was a pulse in it. And so then we worked on it all night. And he still was off a little bit in the morning. He came out of it. We took him to the racetrack and he looked fine, but underneath, there was an underlying problem which we couldn't determine at that time. So then we scratched him, and we realized that he had a quarter crack, a hidden, what do you call it? I can't remember what they call it now. But we had to get Dr. Alday brought in a guy called Joey Carroll, who determined where the quarter crack was. And then he, because it was a blind quarter crack, you couldn't
wow.
see it.
Wow.
So he determined where it was, and then he drilled it and cleaned it out. And in those days, we were using wire still. So he wired it up, and then he put Equilox on top of it. And then we went up, and there was no point in that time racing in the Preakness, so we went to the Peter Pan. He won the Peter Pan well, and then he came back and won the Belmont.
Exactly, and you know, I know it's easy. It's easy to look back and realize, you know, in all likelihood, a healthy AP Indy probably wins that Derby.
Oh, yeah, you can, because of the form line. Yeah, and then the form showed him winning it easily because of who finished second. And he'd beaten that horse easily in the San Anita Derby.
Yeah.
So the form lines held up. So, yeah. And then in the Belmont, Delahousie got off and he said he could have gone around another time. He still would have won. He said he had quite a lot of, even though Delahousie had a tendency not to win the races by much margin, by smaller margins, and he said he had the race won.
I watched the Belmont as well as the Breeders' Cup over the weekend, Neil, and it is amazing. I mean, just how confident and how measured he just, you know, he just eases up and you know, the chart margin is three quarters of a length, but it it was with authority in that case. I did see a quote that Mr. Tsurumaki was very understanding about the way the whole thing evolved, and you know, there's obviously, you know, you miss the Derby, the disappointment is, you know, it's tough. That's a tough race to miss when you got a horse this good.
Well, you got to do what's best for the horse, and it always pays off in the end.
And that end turns out to be the second half campaign. And talk about the thoughts that went into it, and there, it itself, Neil, was not without a couple of hiccups.
Oh yeah, no, the first hiccup was going to Canada because the wind blew all day long, and the track became very loose and dry, and he couldn't get a hold of it at all. So that was the first hiccup. And the next hiccup was when he went to New York and he fell on his face leaving the gate. He stumbled leaving the gate and pulled his shoe off, and he was way behind the field, and so Delahousie just decided to give him a little workout on his own. And then when he came back, the foot was gone because the sand had taken the whole foot off. So Mr. Cowell flew in that night, and we worked on the horse's foot until, I don't know, 4 a.m., I think we finished. Mm. And then off down to Florida.
Not just off to Florida. You only really had, what, two and a half weeks, essentially, to get him right and ready for the Classic.
Yeah, that's why we were so busy that night. Every hour counted.
What was the feeling? I mean, what was your feeling by the time, you know, by the time entries rolled around and you know, what kind, where you were with him and what you hoped to expect?
No, we were in good shape. You know, he'd worked well over the track, everything. It all came up very, very well. We were confident going into that race.
Now, and there again, it's very similar. Watching it's very similar to the Belmont win, where you can see Delahousie just knows that he's got enough horse, and he moves, you know, at will and takes over and wins by, you know, by widening lengths. Pleasant Tap was closing under Gary Stevens, but the result was hardly in doubt at that point. Before this, now this is when Mr. Farish, he bought in, right, between the Jockey Club and the Classic.
No, that was after after the Belmont.
After Belmont, okay. So yeah. The other two. So yeah. With the that includes the other two races.
You'd all say right. He bought back in.
After breeding,
well, because he bred the horse,
right, and with the yeah. with Mr. Kilroy,
right, and then I'd been fortunate enough to train the mother for part of her career. Weekend surprise,
Hudel Carroll.
Yeah, he had young Del had a first part of her career, and then I had her when she came out to California.
That's it. And mating with Seattle Slough produces AP Indy. What do you recall about the decision to retire him at that point? Because, you know, this era, everybody, you know, yesterday with Covfefe's announcement and, you know, people so frustrated when horses retire with, you know, without seeing them as elders. What do you recall from that discussion?
Well, what more can you do? So then you've got to deal with the insurance, which is prohibitive, you know, on a horse like that. So there aren't a lot of options. So In those days, there was no Dubai Cup, there was no Saudi Cup, there was no Pegasus. So, the only option was to keep horse and train for the Breeders' Cup the following year.
Sure.
I think things have somewhat changed now with these big, huge purses for the good horses.
Well,
Steve, I'm going to have to leave you.
I understand.
So anyway, thank you, and we'll wish everybody well.
Neil, I appreciate it, and we're gonna continue to celebrate AP Indy from all the different vantage points. Neil Drysdale, Hall of Fame trainer, Hall of Fame horse, and an all-time great from every aspect. Thanks, Neil. Talk soon.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks. Okay, bye.
Neil Drysdale and AP Indy's racing career. You do wonder. You don't want to take away from anybody, from any horse's successes that over the course of that, that period. But it is hard to envision, whether it's a healthy. There's a few horses historically that, when it comes, particularly comes to Derby, that you think about that. The assumption is made. I don't want to take away from Lily T, who is a personal favorite, and of course, for Cal Partee and Pat Day and Lynn Whiting. That's actually there's a sidebar. If AP Indy is sound and gets to perform and wins, Pat Day would not have likely had a Derby winner. Right, that's an aspect of this discussion. The quote unquote the Derby with his name on it, as Pat Day famously was quoted. Yeah, AP Indy as a racehorse. We're going to talk about his career in full with Lenny Shulman in a little bit. We're going to scare up Eddie D at some point, right? All right. Let's take a break here, though. We'll come right back at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
ExpressBet's popular and profitable $50,000 Beat the Host competition is back in 2020, and this is your chance to win big. Merely place a live $5 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. If your earnings top the host total, you win. Register once and compete Saturdays in January and February for a healthy $2,000 in weekly prizes with no takeout, break, or skim. Beat the Host just once to qualify for the $10,000 championship round. New this year, Beat the Host features a challenging and fun cumulative season-long earnings competition with over $20,000 in prizes paid to the top 10 finishers. Whip hosts in all 8 weeks to earn a share of a sweet $3,000 Sweep the Host bonus. Don't delay. Register today for Beat the Host free at ExpressBet.com.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Developed by Horsemen, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice
horses sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit DRF.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.